Good morning. You're watching the Natural Alternative Podcast with Madonna Guy. Welcome. I'm going to start with something fun because this is Dane Bongino this morning having a really good laugh. Hold on.
I've got this thing I'm about to show you. Hat tip Twitter, Clown World today. Clown World today is one of the best follows on Twitter ever. They're at CWT underscore news. It's Clown World today. It is one of the greatest accounts you will ever follow about the clown world we live in.
I haven't followed that
They
account
put
yet.
out a tweet about the Swiss World Government Summit going on right now, right? And the New World Order. I swear, I went to my social media guy, said it at the game, like, this can't possibly be real. Because if it looks, it's a setup. They're getting the conservatives to say something dumb so they can fact check them later. Ladies and gentlemen, turns out it's real. This is actually real. So what is it? So my buddy Jason sends this over the other day. It's a screenshot from YouTube. We'll put on the screen. Folks, please go to Rumble and just watch this part if you listen on audio only, because it's hilarious. It is so funny. So it's a screenshot from YouTube's World Government Summit. We even have it circled for you, okay? It's real.
It is awesome.
And in this World Government Summit, it's titled, it's titled, Are We Ready for a New World Order? That's the title of the video.
They're not
Are we
hiding it
ready for a
anymore.
new world order? Now, the fact checkers and the libs will tell you that's not happening. Well, then why are you doing videos called Are We Ready for a New World Order? That's not happening. But it's great that it is. No, wait, the story gets better. The story gets better. Here's the kicker. This is where we had to like triple and quadruple check if this was real. There's a fact check on the video. The New World Order is a conspiracy theory which hypothesizes a secretly emerging totalitarian world government. There's a fact check on the video. This is like, this has got to be Clown World today. Let me tell you something. You are not Clown World today. You made my day. I don't know you. I've never met you, but you made my day. This is, you've got to look up the Michael Anton. It's not happening, but it's great that it is, because this is the, you will never find a better example. New World Order, fact check. That's not happening. It's a conspiracy theory. And they think it's so great, they actually put a video up. Are you ready for the New World Order? If this isn't a double barrel middle finger to everybody in America, I don't know what is. It is, Gia Joe, the liberal matrix. This is a glitch. It's totally a glitch in the liberal matrix. This is it. If this is, you know what it is? If we're living in a simulation, right? This is how they screwed it. And then I saw another comment yesterday. My buddy Jason, who helps me out with social media, he put a tweet up on his Twitter feed with the Klaus Schwab thing from the WEF we played yesterday about restructuring the world. He's like, imagine the people designing the simulation, how they're messing with us right now. They're talking to each other. They're like, hey, Jeff, you think we should show this German guy in a heavy German accent talking about restructuring society and the COVID? And he'll write a book called The Great Reset. And the guy said, no, that'd be too much. Let's try it anyway. This has to be what's going on right now. This has to be. This is so hilarious.
So that's Dan Bongino. I love him. I just find him very funny, and he fact checks stuff, and it's pretty bloody good. So that's my start of today's little session. Sorry, I've been away for a few months. There's been a lot going on, and it's been hard to keep my head above water and keep positive and vibrant and up there with everything going on. But anyway, so that's step one. Now, step two, I saw a headline here in Australia, "Where did all the babies go?" So let's have a look at that. So the headline was, "Where have all the babies gone?" Let's look at the statistics. Here in Australia, for the last, since 1971, I think we've had between 23 and 26,000 babies born per month. Our peak was 27,500 babies, but basically over the last 10 years, there's been these numbers, but it's been steadily climbing since 1971 to the levels we've had now. Now, have a look. We've finally released the data from 2021. We don't have 2022 data yet. And I wonder when they will release that data. So we had something strange happen in 2021 in March, something new that had never come into the population before. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months in, we had one of our lowest births per month in a long time. In November 2021, down to 18,000, and 2021 December, 6,659. Now, this is horrific. What is going on? My husband suggested that maybe everyone decided that it was stressful during COVID and no one wanted to have babies coming into an economic condition like this. Biology isn't like that. If people want babies, they want babies. I know people who have decided not to bring babies into this world, but that's a whole different thing to what's gone on in the last 2 years. So isn't that interesting that our last 3 months of 2021 were already dropping? Now, we might magically in January 2022 get 40,000 births. Maybe they've just misplaced 17,000 babies. Maybe everyone decided that December was a bad time to have a baby, but as we know, that's not the way things work. So, just a couple of stories close to home. One of my cousins had four of her friends after Jibbity Jabs last year have miscarriages. So she's just had a baby, but in her close circle, she had four babies be miscarried. I've got a client who has a 12-month baby with a brain tumor. I've got a client, sorry. I've got a client whose daughter has a baby with leukemia. So all of a sudden, we've got other bizarre things going on as well. I know babies get cancer. I know this is a fact, but cancers have also risen through the roof in the last couple of years while this has been going on. So these are our statistics here from Australia, which I thought I would share. So a 21% decrease from October to November, followed by a 63% decrease from November to December. One of our endocrinologists who deals in fertility is his specialty. He used to have between an 8 to 15% miscarriage rate. And in the past 2 years, it's gone to over 74% miscarriage rate. So we've got 10 to 22% increase in stillbirths across Western nations that are highly jabbed. We've got a 74% miscarriage rate with a top endocrinologist dealing with fertility here in Queensland. And we've got a decrease in babies going from 23 to 26,000 per month down to 6,500 in December last year. So it will be very interesting watching what happens throughout 2022. Okay. I need to take a break. Okay, so the next thing I would like to share with you, now that my brain is feeling a little calmer, is some really great news about myocarditis and pericarditis. And I'm not talking about the sudden adult death syndrome that is going through the roof. I'm talking about long COVID and the fact that the powers that be have been trying to push the fact that people who have had COVID-19 are now getting heart issues and basically trying to blame all of these excess deaths on long COVID. So Dr. John Campbell, who I love on YouTube, he is fantastic. He goes straight from government sources of data and he can't do anything to get himself thrown off. He's just delightful. So I'm going to share the first couple of minutes just so that you can hear it, but then I'll talk through the study a little bit because it's pretty fantastic. Basically, a study in Israel looked at nearly 600,000 people. So we are talking a very decent sized study. So the next thing I'd like to share is an overview of a study that was done with nearly 600,000 people looking at whether or not myocarditis and pericarditis are results of long COVID and therefore long-term effects after the COVID diagnosis, either from PCR tests. So that basically they looked at nearly 600,000 people and they were PCR tested and positive for COVID-19 or non-PCR tested. Now, you know what I think about the PCR tests. in, well, you know, we know the PCR tests are not accurate in any way, shape or form. They're not fit for purpose, and yet we keep having them pushed all around the planet. So, but nonetheless, we have to play their game in the way that they are playing it. And the way they are playing it is a positive PCR test means you've had COVID. So let's go and have a look at their own statistics here in Israel. So let's have a look.
Hello and welcome to today's talk, Sunday the 6th of November. Now, we're going to be looking at a small study today. Shouldn't take too long, but it's very important. It's from Israel before vaccination for COVID-19 was introduced. And what it did, it looked at a large cohort of people who'd had COVID diagnosed by PCR, a large group of people as a control that had not had COVID, who never had symptoms and tested negative on PCR, and they compared the incidence of myocarditis and pericarditis between the two groups. And they followed them up for 4, 5, 6 months. The average follow-up was about 4.1 months, I think. A very substantial follow-up. And what they found is there was no difference between the groups. So the COVID group did not have more myocarditis and pericarditis than the group who'd never had the COVID infections. And this is completely regardless of the vaccination. It's before the vaccinations were being were introduced. Now, why don't more countries look at similar studies? Because we've got large cohorts of people who had COVID and didn't have COVID before there was vaccination. It's such an obvious study to do. And these groups in Israel have done it, from University of Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, two main medical universities in Israel. Now, we are seeing more pericarditis and myocarditis around at the moment. So from this data, it would appear from this data that the source of this increased amount of myocarditis and pericarditis is not COVID infection per se, not the COVID infection itself. And I think you can see the import of that statement that I've just made. Now,
what I love about Dr. John Campbell is that occasionally when there's something he doesn't want to say, he says, I don't recall that. So therefore, I'll have this little bit of an interview for you from this person. So he's very, very careful, and therefore he gets many views on his page. He's a dynamo of a human being, by the way.
Now, don't take my word for it. Let's look at the data. This is the study here, incidence of myocarditis and pericarditis in post-COVID unvaccinated patients, a large population-based study. And we'll see it is a very large study indeed. Well conducted. Journal of Clinical Medicine. Check it out for yourself. Full things there. You can download the PDF. Very substantial peer-reviewed journal. Myocarditis and pericarditis, post-acute cardiac sequelae. It also means that this is probably not a cause of many cases of long COVID as well. So the people that are suffering from cardiac conditions that people have assumed was caused by COVID, this data would indicate might not be caused by the COVID infection itself. Therefore, we need to look for an alternative cause or another cause or causes of the pericarditis and myocarditis that is around.
So the video is called Myocarditis Good News. And down the bottom here, he's done a great précis of what it's about. So it's published on the 7th of November, 2022. Here are the connections to the links of the studies that he always puts in there. It's looking at the incidence of myocarditis and pericarditis. It had 196,992 adults after a COVID-19 infection as tested with PCR. And then it also had never infected people, 590,976. So, you know, so nearly 800,000 people in the study, and they'd had at least one negative PCR and no positive PCR. Calculated backwards from 15th of December 2020. So in the positive COVID-19 group, there were 9 post-COVID-19 patients developed myocarditis, which is 0.0046 of a percent, 11 diagnosed with pericarditis, which is 0.0056 of a percent, And in the control group, who had never been infected, 27 developed myocarditis, 0.0046%, and 52 developed pericarditis, 0.0088%. So pretty much it's almost identical whether they were COVID infected or not, which once again is a really nice way of having a look at it. There was another cohort with 700,000 people, and non-COVID cohort with 2 million people. And once again, the conclusion was a COVID-19 infection was not associated with myocarditis, and post-COVID-19 infection was not associated with pericarditis. So all of that is pretty fantastic news. And I think once again, we need to be looking at these sort of studies so that people can really have a look at what we've been doing to humans for the last 2 years. And here in Australia, the laws they are passing are just crazy. In the past 2 months, Queensland and Western Australia, and I know this is happening elsewhere in the world, but because of COVID and setting up for the next five pandemics, so our government here in Queensland, Australia, has just passed a law allowing COVID people, COVID officers, COVID trained humans to come into any house, to destroy any animals, to take people away and have them tested for anything, given them any substances or procedures that they choose. If it's in the public health's best interest, they may not actually have to tell you what they're doing. It's quite phenomenal. They are allowing these things to go through Parliament where we've only got a handful of decent politicians here in Australia. There might be a dozen of them who are actually standing up and saying, no, we don't want it for the next 100 years that you can pull someone out of my house, test them, jab them, give them any treatment you choose, and lock them away and throw away the key, because it says that the judge can actually extend the number of days that they are locked away for. Initially, it's supposed to be 3 days, and then the judge can extend that. And then they can be in a quarantine camp for between 14 and 28 days, but the judge can extend that. And there was one case during COVID down in New South Wales where one young Indigenous guy was locked up for 2 months straight without seeing another human being. Really quite horrendous, some of the things going on. So I think the myocarditis is good news. Dan Bongino's section was just funny, you know. So they're saying, is it a good time to bring in a new world order? The babies, my heart breaks for the babies and the mothers and the people who are trying to bring little human beings into this world at this time, who were sucked into taking an experimental jab that is not fit for purpose. It's not safe and effective. And our excess death rates are higher everywhere in the world since these jabs have rolled out. Last I heard, we're at 18.1% excess deaths here in Australia over the past 6 years on average. So just horrendous, just horrendous. Let me finish with something fun. How's this little cutie pie? The news is trauma-based mind control. You're not being informed, you're being manipulated. Isn't it funny? The last few years, there's barely anything I can see on the news that I don't think, why do they want me to think that? One of my friends was telling me that she was watching some normal TV the other night, and within a short space of time, there was an ad for digital ID, digital currency. There was something about climate change and, you know, ditch the meat and eat the genetically modified plant-based evil protein that's going to make people have cancer and die off very soon. And there were like four things very, very quickly that she just went, oh my gosh, they're pushing it at every level, just phenomenal. And this is a goodie. 2021 was trust the science. I am the science. We own the science. And in 2022, they're claiming we didn't know. Have you, I'm assuming everyone's seen the thing about the amnesty. Let's hold an amnesty. We didn't know what we did was going to be so wrong. Yeah, so there's a lot of people out there still hurting. There's been no apologies. They are pushing these laws through everywhere in the world. There's very few countries actually pushing back on more control, pushing back against more control and more laws around infections and jabs. The World Health Organization has on its website that they want 500 vaccines into every arm on the planet by 2030. No person to be left up behind. And they believe that's going to be the end of all of the suffering on the earth. The World Homicide Organization is truly a delightful organization, isn't it? The other thing the World Health Organization said within the last month is that they want all vaccines moving forward from now to be mRNA technology. So looking at those deaths of those babies, and it's a combination of infertility increasing, miscarriages, more babies being born with stillbirth. So it's a whole combination of things going on. So imagine if we start injecting, and we're already doing it here in Australia, 6-month-old babies are getting these COVID jabs. Imagine what's going to happen when we change all babies' jabs across the planet to mRNA from next year. It blows the mind. The CEO of Moderna came out about a month ago and said that they have 10 viruses on the planet equally as virulent as COVID-19, and they will have a 10-part vaccine available for you for next winter. These humans aren't going to stop. These humans aren't going to stop. This one's good. Remember the plague that wiped out the Amish because they don't vaccinate their children? Yeah, me neither. Love the Amish. They are just doing so well. This one I might read out. This one's really disappointing, knowing the bigger plan on the planet. So this is globalist banker Jacques Attali in 1981. In the future, it will be a question of finding a way to reduce the population. We will start with the old because as soon as it exceeds 60 to 65 years, man lives longer than he produces and costs society dearly. Then the weak and then the useless who do nothing for society, because there will be more and more of them, and especially the stupid ones. Euthanasia targeting these groups, euthanasia will have to be an essential instrument of our future societies in all cases. We cannot, of course, execute people or set up camps. We will get rid of them by making them believe it's for their own good. Too large a population, and for the most part unnecessary, is something economically too expensive. Socially, it is also much better for the human machine to come to an abrupt halt rather than gradually deteriorating. We won't be able to run intelligent tests on millions and millions of people, you can imagine. We will find something or cause it. A pandemic that targets certain people, a real economic crisis or not, a virus that will affect the old or the fat. It doesn't matter. The weak will succumb to it. The fearful and the stupid will believe it and ask to be treated. We will have taken care to have planned the treatment, a treatment that will be the solution. The selection of idiots will thus be done on its own. They will go to their own slaughterhouse. They will go to the slaughterhouse on their own. I truly believe that this is the plan going on the planet at the moment. I don't think for a second that these people don't know what they're doing. Not for a second. I think the jabs are hideous, evil, transhuman. I think it's a transhumanist agenda. I think they're looking at us as the body that's going to be connected to the internet so that they can control us completely. Actually, have you seen the digital ID suggestions by the UN and the EU in the last few days? So the European Central Bank, the ECB, has proposed a digital euro have the following features. Users be allowed to spend no more than 50 euros per transaction. Users have a maximum monthly spending limit of 1,000 euros. Users have a limit of 50 transactions per month. Users have a limit of digital euro holdings maximum of 3,000. Be programmable so that the governments or central banks can impose spending restrictions. Can only be spent at government-approved merchants. Be programmed to expire within a certain amount of time and not have full anonymity as a viable option. The ECB plans to start testing the digital euro in 2023 and roll it out fully in 2026. This is the plan, people. This is the plan. So it's quite phenomenal that people aren't paying attention, that we are allowing our governments and the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, the central banks to control our lives. It really is time to stop pretending that you're part of a movement moving forward. We've got to stand up, or it's our kids and our grandkids or our parents. Someone we know is going to die very soon. And I know I've got people who I've actually spoken to, and they simply don't want to know. They say, let me be dead before this goes on. And I'm thinking, you're my age. You're not going to be dead. This is happening next year, the year after. We know that food shortages are coming. The United Nations said it a few days ago. You know, we know that people are going to be freezing in Europe over winter. This is all planned. If it speeds up the devastation and the deaths, this is their plan. They want us cold. They want us hungry. They want us to say, yes, please, give me more jabs. Keep me safe, healthy, and well. And some of us are too silly to see the big picture. Sorry, I was going to finish on something fun, wasn't I? Okay, here's a few cutie pies to finish off with. So a picture of all these shorn sheep and one of them poking their head up saying, when you arrive in hell and you can't see your best friend. Oh, dear. Oh, when you've already taken a bite and someone starts saying grace. Okay, on that note, everyone, that's it for today, and I'll be back soon. Take care. Love you all. And don't forget to like and subscribe. Okay, take care. Have a great day. Bye.